Let's talk bubbles. And no, I'm not talking about the ones that we chased around as a kid or the bubbles that you get when you take a bath. Let's talk about some Blues players who are on the proverbial bubble as the training camp winds down to a close. Let's start with Scotty Perunovic. Hobey Baker Award winner, puck magician. There's been so much drool generated about this kid's play this training camp that it would be enough drool to fill the channel to make Kaskaskia, Illinois, an island again. But is it time for him to be on an NHL roster? Well, let's take a look at some of his competition. First things first, Torrey Krug, Justin Falk, Marco Scandella, Colton Parayko, locks. They're not going anywhere. I don't see Scandella being traded. I'm so sorry, Scandella haters. So that leaves three spots for four defensemen. You have Perunovic, the aforementioned one. You have Robert Bortuzzo. You have Jake Walman, and you have Nico Mikkola. One of these defensemen is not like the others, and I'm not talking about the fact that Bortuzzo is the only right-handed shot of the bunch. Perunovic almost played exclusively on the right side in Minnesota Duluth and won a freaking Hobey Baker Award. No issues there. And Jake Walman recently stated at a press conference, he's also cool with playing the right side as well. The difference I'm talking about is Perunovic's two-way contract. The other three are on one-way deals and would be owed their full NHL salaries should they be demoted to Springfield. Also, I'm pretty sure at least two of those players would have some waiver difficulties, if not all three. So sure, Perunovic is probably more skilled than Bortuzzo at this point, but didn't we just spend an offseason complaining that the Blues don't have enough aggression and beef and physicality on defense, and you're gonna jettison the one guy out of those four that offers at least any semblance of that? Probably not. Given Walman established himself and Mikkola is basically not too far behind him, it only makes sense for Perunovic to start the year in Springfield. He lost last season to an injury and he needs more exposure to the pro game. But should injuries happen, I would guess that he or Callie Rosen would be the first call-ups. Let's jump to Mackenzie McEachern. No, he's probably not the forward you were thinking of, but he's the easiest to address right off the bat because I think his time might be up, at least on the main roster. He's a solid grindy McGrinder and worked hard to earn his spot. He's a great story. But there's a wave that's crashing into the main roster radar here. And I hate to say it because I like him, but I don't know if Mac makes the roster. Well, who does? Zach Sanford straight opened up one, at least for sure, spot. And the two extras are also up for grabs. So let's first address Jake Neighbors. Neighbors had a phenomenal camp, and he's still with the team at this point, which is a testament to how well he's playing. And the strides that we heard he made last year in the WHL have basically been confirmed. He plays like a man possessed on the ice. He's everywhere. He's noticeable. And did you see that nice little drop pass that he made to Tarasenko before he sniped one in during a preseason game a couple games ago? That was kind of nice. Now, I'm biased because we got to interview Neighbors last year during the pandemic lull, and I was blown away at this kid's character and poise just by talking to him. But Neighbors has played 0% professional minutes of hockey. He stayed in the juniors last season and he hasn't even sniffed the AHL yet. Some may point out that David Perron made the Blues in his first training camp, and yes, there are similarities in Perron's and Neighbors' situations, but there is one big difference though. The Blues, when Perron made the team, sucked. This was the end of the really dark period in the late 2000s. Neighbors, meanwhile, has to crack a talented, veteran, fairly deep, recent cup-winning roster. Like Perunovic, I just don't think it's time for him quite yet, but his transition to the NHL shouldn't take nearly as long as Glim Kostin. For as present and accounted for as Neighbors has been, Kostin seems to be flying under the radar of this camp. We know this kid can play like a demon out there, maybe to a fault almost. We know he can hit, we know he can score, but what we don't know is he freaking ready yet? Craig Berube recently was quoted by the Athletic's Jeremy Rutherford as saying Kostin's had a good camp. I mean, what else would Berube say? Oh, this kid sucks. No, he wouldn't say that at all. But he did point out something that actually makes me kind of relate to what Kostin is going through. Kostin tends to overcomplicate things. Kostin is clearly smart, he's charismatic, and sometimes people like that can overthink even the simplest things. I know because I and the exact same way. For instance, you open a doorknob, you're just thinking about opening a doorknob. Pretty simple, right? Well, for someone like me or Kostin, you're thinking about which way do you turn the knob? Is it locked? Does the door open inward or outward? So on and so on. You get the point. It is a fixable problem, though. I mean, you're talking about going from complicated to simple. It's a lot easier transition than the other way around. But is this a problem that is fixable on the main roster, or does he go down to Springfield and fix it there? In my opinion, Kostin, I think, is in a situation where it might just be best to throw him into the fire and have him learn on the fly on the big roster. 3 years in the AHL plus 1 year with the KHL with Avangard Omsk, where he was good enough to actually help that team win a Gagarin Cup and actually had a meaningful role on that team. It's time to see what this kid can do. Now, how much time does he get to play? Well, he might have to share with these next two guys. First things first, Dakota Joshua. A benefactor of the Blues' injury woes this spring season, Joshua played 12 games for the Blues, scored just one goal, and had a -3. Whoop-de-doo, right? But anyone that watched Joshua can't help but root for him. The kid plays with max effort, he's physical, and he's a pretty dadgum good face-off guy. He won 58% of them this past season. He's everything you would want in a bottom six grinder. He throws the body, he drops the gloves, and he has the makings of a pretty decent defensive forward. You need guys like that. And Joshua has earned a spot on this Blues roster, in my opinion. If he doesn't make the team, someone needs to be brought up on criminal charges. And then there's James Neal. The old geezer and former 40-goal scorer dropped a hattie in his first preseason game. Now, if that's not making a statement that you're serious about wanting to earn a contract, I just don't know what is at this point. The rub with Neal is that he's not fast. He's pretty slow. Most observers of training camp have noted that. But he is a veteran. He is a Stanley Cup winner. He can still score on occasion, and by all accounts, he's a good teammate. He can be a little bit more physical in his game, but he started making strides toward that last season in Edmonton as it became apparent that he just was not the goal scorer that he was. And keep in mind, when he started his career with Dallas, he was very physical. He just eased off that once it became apparent that he actually had goal scoring ability and probably wanted to avoid getting banged up. Pavel Bure, similar thing. First season in the NHL with the Canucks, he had everything. Rest of his career, he avoided getting hit because he was made of glass. I think there's still value in having a guy like Neal on the roster, even if it's mostly in the press box going forward. So what about Michael Frolik, the other PTO? I want to address him because I kind of dissed him in a past Fresh Toast. He is a pretty good penalty killer throughout his career. No, he doesn't offer a ton beyond that, but again, here's another veteran who probably has some influence and knowledge to pass along to younger players. If the Blues signed him and he plays the entire season in Springfield, that might be the best role for him, honestly. Young players need to learn some two-way ability, and Frolik would be a veteran influence on that the roster would look up to. But he could just as well disappear altogether, and I guess that's just as well. I haven't heard much said about him at all, have you? And of course, no changes in net. It's Binnington and Husso, period. Charlie Lindgren got some high marks from Montreal Canadiens fans when he signed with the Blues. Fans were kind of waiting for him to get his Binnington chance. It's not going to happen right off the bat. He probably goes down to Springfield and joins Joe Hofer, who is already down there. Now, Colton Ellis is still on the Blues training camp roster as at the time of this recording, and no, he's not going to make the team. I'm kind of curious where he goes, though, because you've got a complicated timeshare possibly with Lindgren and Hofer. You could send him down to the ECHL. I mean, this is Ellis's first exposure to the pro game, after all, even though he had a stellar QMJHL season last year. Or maybe you loan him out like Jordan Binnington, and he takes the Jordan Binnington career path. For instance, Seattle, their AHL team, Palm Springs, might need a goalie this year. You just never know. Let me know what you think. Am I wrong about Nabors and Prunovich? Am I discrediting their chances at making the roster? Am I overinflating James Neal? Am I thinking it's 2011 and he is going to be a valuable member of the St. Louis Blues roster like he was 10 years ago? Just let me know in the comments below what you think. I'm Tom Franklin. Remember, always play to the whistle.
For new episodes, merchandise, and behind-the-scenes content, be sure to visit ToastedSTL.com or follow us on Twitter at Toasted St. Louis. I'm the voice of the Blues, Tom Calhoun. Let's get toasted!